Good evening. Can you hear me? Jonathan ran off with the good microphones, so I'm going backwards today. You probably all have some idea of what the law is. You've read it, seen it. Sometimes we ignore the law. Why do we kind of keep our distance from the law? Especially as Christians, we tend to keep our distance from the law because Christendom, in general, has kind of made the law into something that God expects from me, which I can't do. In Christ, we see Christ has done everything for us. We like that a whole lot better than us having to do something. But we'll take a look and see what we can learn here. You know, the idea of being bold in the law. Why would you want to be bold in the law? Well, Moses was bold in it. This is the way Moses initially depicted bringing the law down to us. He was very bold in what he did when he found out that the people were breaking the law. Even before he brought it down, he got very angry with them. He acted in a bold manner and broke those tablets on the rocks. I don't know if this is what they look like, but that's it etched in stone. You know, the law is part of the Bible. The Bible is a big book. You know, it's a simple book. Francis Schaeffer, I've used this before. He says it's a simple book because it starts at the beginning and goes to the end. But it's a big book because it does start at the beginning and go all the way to the end. In the middle there, way toward the front, is the story of creation, and we have the law given to us in the first part of the first part of the book. But we have to be bold in the law. We'll see more about that later. But as we look at the law, we see two aspects of the law. We see them here. No other gods before me. And starting on the second table, honor your father and mother with the other things. The first half are what you would see as God-focused. This is how you behave to God. Second half is how you behave toward men. We like behaving toward men. Behaving toward men is something we can see, something we can do. Behaving toward God is not always something we can do publicly. we may tend to hide it. But if we go down to, you know, just taking the, not making an idol. And an idol doesn't have to be a material thing. Norm Geisler says an idol can either be metal or mental. But you can have either one replacing God. Either one replacing God. No other gods before you. And don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Sabbath day. In the New Testament, the work has already been done for us. I mentioned before. The work has been done for us. We rest in Him. In Hebrews, it talks about a Sabbath rest that remains yet for the people of God. That's talking about the time in the future that we haven't seen yet. But there still remains a rest. So we don't have this commandment really for us in the New Testament. It's not repeated in the New Testament. We see all these other things. Honoring your father and mother. Well, think of you shall not murder. Abortion keeps coming up in that. And you know, there are no adult fetuses, so we can't have an unborn fetus. It's a human being. You have adult humans. in the creation account, God created the animals and He created man to reproduce after their own kind. So what adult humans reproduce is a human. Fetus is just a developmental stage of that human being, but it's still a human being. We've developed that not we. Some people in the medical community develop that term so that they can justify what they do with that blob of tissue that they call a fetus, but it's a human being. talks about you shall not steal. What does that do? That legitimizes private property. If God didn't intend for you to have anything, he wouldn't have told us not to steal, not to take it. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Here he's giving honesty and integrity. This is what you have to do. Don't covet. That's another thing. It gives the legitimacy of not only private property, but private pursuit. Don't covet. You know, there, bad things can happen. You know, if you like my 1 acre lot better than your half acre lot, just think of how much time you spend mowing and how much I spend mowing. You know, the more ground you have, the more grass grows. And if it rains a lot, it grows a lot. So you have to spend a lot of time. I know people that spend a lot of time out there cutting grass. I don't like to cut grass. But you know, it's Ten Commandments are nothing new. Not even in Exodus 20 were they new. And Moses shows up all through Scripture. In Malachi 4:4, the last chapter in the Old Testament, talks about the law of Moses. Revelation 15:3 talks about singing the song of Moses, which is referred in Genesis or Exodus. So Moses is a permanent fixture. When you talk about the Ten Commandments, he said no other God. Enoch and Noah walked with God only. Jacob was told to put away strange gods in chapter 35. put strange gods out of his house. Honor your father and mother. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob each had their sons. You know, in those cases, the sons didn't always get along, but they got along then. They came and they honored their father by coming together and burying him in an appropriate place. Murder. Cain in Genesis 3 and Lamech in Genesis chapter 4 murdered. They murdered people. Lying and adultery. Abraham did it twice with Pharaoh and we'll call him Abimelech 1 and Isaac in Abimelech 2. They both said, hey, see that lady over there? She's my sister. That was a lie. And remember how those three kings acted when they found out? They got after Abraham and Isaac. They said, you told me a lie. I might have taken her for my own. That means those pagan kings knew that adultery was wrong. They knew that adultery was wrong. Stealing. Joseph and Benjamin in Genesis 44. Joseph set up his brother by putting his silver cup in his sack of grain. He knew that stealing was wrong, and Benjamin knew that stealing was wrong. So he set him up with that. Lying again, Cain lied. God said, where's your brother?
Yeah, I don't know. He was here a minute ago.
He lied. He knew very well where he was, right where he left him. Eve coveted in the garden. She wanted to be like God. Sarah wanted a son so bad that she sent Abraham off to Hagar to get a son. And you know what happened. We're still seeing the results of that. These are the Ten Commandments that people knew about, broke, and understood were wrong before Exodus chapter 20. Before Exodus chapter 20. These are an expression of God's holy character from the beginning. That's what the Ten Commandments are, an expression of God's holy character. God wrote the Ten Commandments down. He wrote them with his finger, in stone. They're etched in stone because they are permanent. Permanent. God has one standard. And that one standard isn't going to pass away. This is how one person put it. The fact that the law expresses God's character has many implications. One is that when we break God's law, we're making a direct assault on God himself. To worship another god is to deny God's sovereignty. To misuse his name is to deny his honor. To steal is to deny his providence. To lie is to deny his truthfulness, and so forth. Every violation of the law is an offense against God's holy character. The Ten Commandments is an expression of God's character. Francis Schaeffer talks about even the creation. God said that everything was good when he went through the creation account. And in 31, he says, God saw that everything he had made was good, was very good. Not a relative judgment, but a judgment of the holy character, the judgment of the holy God who has a character and whose character is the law of the universe. So, you know, the Ten Commandments are not just a list of things that you shouldn't do. The Ten Commandments are an expression of the nature and character of God. When you think of that, that it's not a list of stuff you need to avoid or shun. It's a list of the nature and character of God. Creation itself is a mandate from God. Each phase of creation is an act of God's plan and purpose, including the food we eat. Including the food we eat. Man is so messed with the food that God gave us that what we eat today in the grocery store isn't the same stuff that they ate in the garden. As a matter of fact, it's relatively recent. You know, your grandparents and your grandparents probably ate food that was closer to what Adam and Eve ate than you and I eat. Just in the last 50 years, they have so modified the food that what we get is not what God told them to eat. And every living thing was created with the ability to reproduce after its own kind. After its own kind. I think of this, you know, we are in the, we've gone past the transgender stuff. And we are into transhuman. You know, scientists are working on creating a human being that has the eyes of a cat. The military would love that. They wouldn't need to have night goggles anymore. You know, a cat can see perfectly well at night and see perfectly well in the daytime. Wouldn't it be good to have a squadron of soldiers that could do that? And if you know, it's a little far-fetched to look at what they're doing with human organs. You know, they're inserting human DNA into pigs to grow ears and other things. But if you think about it, and just think of the theoretical possibility that if that DNA could get into a male and female pig's reproductive system, could they possibly produce a human offspring? Or a humanish offspring? We're messing with stuff that we don't know what we need to mess with. It says, created after its own kind. Created after its own kind. Man was created in only two versions. Male and female, period. Any anomaly is a result of the fall when sin entered into God's creation. That's where you get all this strange stuff. And, you know, there's so much hypocritical stuff in there. You talk to the LGBT community, and they will tell you that these people were born this way. They can't change back. And there have even been lawsuits brought against people who have tried to counsel these people and get them to come out of the homosexual lifestyle. You can't do that. You know, that's the way they were born. You can't change that. Okay, let's take Bill Clinton. He was born that way. And they even more so with Donald Trump. And they come up against Donald Trump who say, this is the way he talks about women, he treats about women. Well, where is the same attitude? He was born that way. He can't change. Oh, yes. Yeah, people can change. Yeah, people have a will. People have a will. Man was created in the image of God, but not equal to God. Created in the image of God, but not equal to God. Satan's lie was a deception to draw us away from obedience to God by elevating him to equality with God. You know, Christ was God in the flesh. Christ did not think it was robbery to be equal with God. For man to be equal to God is robbery. Because he is created in the image of God, but not equal to God. Not equal to God. Being created in his image gives man the interest in obeying God the way Christ did, but man wanted to be like God and forfeited his ability to obey him implicitly. He didn't want to only know good and evil, but wanted to determine the parameters of good and evil. That's what man wants to do. Man wants to be the determiner of his own moral code. And in order to do that, he then goes into the idea of relativism. You know, well, it's all right for you, but not all right for me. You know, or all right for me, but not all right for you. Man wants to create his own moral stuff. These 10 expressions of the nature and character of God that man was intended to have. We were intended to be able to obey these things. And that's, you know, that's what we didn't do in Eden. We intentionally violated the one command that we did have. One command. We couldn't keep that one. Because we wanted to do that. But it's not only a description of God's nature and character, but with God as the original Father, this is what man really wants to be. You look at the Ten Commandments, that's what God really wants you to be like. And, you know, this is not just for Christians. This is everybody. Man has a desire to determine morality, but he's always getting it wrong because he is not holy as God is holy. If you were holy, you could determine morality, but you're not. And I'm not. Only God can give a moral code that is both absolute and perfect. Only God can give a moral code that is both absolute and perfect. He can do nothing else. Because God is absolute and God is perfect. God is God. Man's morality is in fact something less than morality. We need to recognize a standard outside of ourselves. Your standard has to come from outside of yourself. If you only, have you ever heard that people say, let your conscience be your guide? If you have only your conscience to be your guide, then there is no objective measure outside of yourself to discern good from evil. Now, discerning good from evil is important because Hebrews 5:14 says, the mature have their senses trained through practice. How often do you practice something? Just once? Practice. Anybody play a musical instrument? When you practice, you do it over and over and over and over again. You play baseball, play sports. You practice over and over and over again. You practice over and over and over again discerning good from evil. If all you're doing is looking at the good or looking at the evil, you're not maturing. You have to be able to discern both. That's what Hebrews chapter 5 says. The 10 are a list of what man in the image of God really wants to be. That's what Yeah, he really wants to be that. But he can't. The reason for confusion, discouragement, and depression. That's because God says, and man really wants to be that way. But his culture tells him something different. So humanity is sitting there in the middle. He wants to be on this side, but his culture tells him, and his nature, his sinful nature tells him to be on something, on the other side. That causes confusion. You know, God made male and female. If you, I've understood that if you go on Facebook, there are 58 gender distinctions. 58? Where do you get 58 from? You know, I haven't looked at it, but apparently, you know, I've heard that in more than one space. But you know, 3 is bad enough. But there's confusion there. And you don't have to be 90-year-old with a weak memory to be confused. Just look at the news. Just watch what's going on in Berkeley. Are they confused? They're confused. You don't have to be something wrong with your brain to be confused. Just something wrong with your heart to be confused. You have to have too many options. And too much confusion results in a discouragement. Well, gee, yeah, I can't be what I want to be. And too much discouragement results in depression. So there's only one way to satisfy those 10 characteristics, those 10 items of the nature and character of God. Become like man was before the fall. He was innocent. He was not perfect. People can get that wrong. You know, man was not perfect in the garden. He was innocent. Innocent. But to become, that was before his disobedience. God wants obedience. He wants obedience from us. He wanted obedience from Adam and Eve, but he didn't get it. And because of that disobedience, you know, allegiance was given to Satan. We have to come back to that point of being able to obey. The only way to do that is to become a new creature in Christ. The plan of God leads to the cross. You read through the entire scripture, and it's big. It goes from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21. There's creation, there's the fall, and most of the rest of it is picture after picture of the redemptive process, and then the redemption, and then the final restoration. So these ten things that we call the law, the commandments, are not a condition for salvation, but they're a consequence of salvation. You and I, after becoming new creatures in Christ, now have the capability to obey God. We now have the capability to obey that. But do we? No, because we still have, like Paul said in Romans 7, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I do. You know, we wrestle with that all the time. We wrestle with that all the time. So these are the 10 things. Those are a description of the nature and character of God. This is a list of them. In the Old Testament, you've got that line there. That's between the God-focused commandments and the man-focused commandments. God-focused commandments and man-focused commandments. Those are human-focused. There's still a divine accountability there. Still a divine accountability for those man-focused things. God said to Saul, "Now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has appointed him as ruler of his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." How did David become a man after God's own heart? Did you ever wonder that? Except for the case of Bathsheba. After he had removed Saul, he raised David up to be king, concerning whom he had testified, saying, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Read through Psalm 119. Psalm 119. 25 times the law is mentioned. 22 times testimonies are mentioned. 21 times the precepts of God. 22 statutes of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord, 21. His word, 34 times. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. Those 10 things are perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. Judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous all together. If you read through the first two paragraphs of Psalm 119, it talks about walking in His law, observing His testimony, ordained His precepts that they should keep them diligently. Keep your statutes. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you. Read through this. If you split it up into, you know, the individual Hebrew letter things that are, you can do one each day of the month for five days. Take a weekend off. According to your don't let me wander from your commandments. Teach me your statutes. I will meditate on your precepts. I will delight in your statutes. Will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Do not hide your commandments from me. Don't hide your commandments. Let me see them. Let me know what they are. After your ordinances at all times. But then you say, oh, now, cursed are the works of the law. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things of the law. I'm cursed. But, yeah, Christ came and He said, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish but to fulfill the law. And in Romans 3, He says, do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On contrary, we establish the law. The law is still there. The law is persistent. The law is eternal. Think of it as a mortgage. Everybody's had a mortgage or a car payment at some point in your life, most everybody. But if you have a 30-year mortgage and you make every payment but the last payment, have you fulfilled that mortgage? You still owe the bank. If you make that first payment and nothing else after that, you still owe the bank big time. When it comes to our sin debt, we're not even in the ballpark. We can't even play the game. We have made no payment whatsoever. If you and I were to die for our sins, we would accomplish nothing but dying in our sins, and we would end up in hell. But you got to understand, you know, the whole truth of things. This is an interesting chart. You got to have truth right. Truth is big. Truth goes from Genesis 101 to Revelation 22:21. If you don't have the truth right, your belief is going to be wrong. If you don't have belief wrong, your truth, your behavior is going to be wrong. Truth is big. The depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Unsearchable. If they're unsearchable, does that mean you don't search for anything in them? No. Why do people get a PhD in math and then do postgraduate studies in math? Because there's more to learn. Why do people climb Mount Everest? Because it's there. We need to understand the breadth, length, height, and depth, the love of Christ. That is truth. The love of Christ is expressed in the Ten Commandments. Paul talked to Timothy, from a child you have known the sacred writings. That's the Old Testament. Old Testament, including the books of the law. Did you know that, you know, for a Hebrew boy, if he was interested in becoming a rabbi, by the time he was 13, he had to memorize the Pentateuch. How many of you can quote the Pentateuch? Not me. They'd not only memorize it, be able to explain it to the rabbis. That's where Timothy was. He knew the sacred writings, and that, including the law, was able to lead him to salvation. How much more is there to truth than what you and I can see? You and I can see this part. But there's so much more. So much more. How many of you have ever seen the bottom half of an iceberg? The bottom 90% of an iceberg. Not many of us. You have to dig deep. You have to dive real far down. And you know what? The water's cold down there. I haven't been down there, but I can tell you. Just from the looks of the ice cube size, you know, it's cold down there. How many of you have ever seen anything like this? Familiar with random 3D random dot stereograms? You can play with this afterwards. I've got a hard copy print out of this. This is a picture of my favorite, what used to be my favorite fruit. It's a donut. There's a donut in there. I'll let you look at it later on. But we have the Old Testament list of the Ten Commandments. Then we have a revised New Testament list. And it's the same division. The Old Testament, the God-focused ones, and the man-focused ones. Remember that story about the guy that was reading a newspaper? Dad was reading his newspaper, and his young son kept bothering him. And he found a picture, a map of the world. And he tore it out and tore it up into pieces, gave it to his son. And his son came back immediately, you know, relatively quickly, with it all put together. He said, "Son, how did you do that?" He said, "Well, on the other side, there was a picture of a man. If I knew I got the man together right, the world would come out okay." Same thing here. If we get God together, if we get God right, then our human obligations will fall into place. But you know what happens? We have, since we live in this world, we have a tendency to do this. We have a tendency to do this. We get the human-focused ones first. Why is that? Because that's something that I can see, and I can measure, and I can control. Now, what is that? Naturalism. Naturalism is a worldview, a whole category of worldviews, part of which is materialism. By materialism, I don't mean having lots of stuff. Solomon had lots of stuff, but he was not a materialist. Not a materialist. He knew where all of his stuff came from. Materialism considers that material is the source of everything. Material is eternal. Material got together and it started to make rocks and water, and then the rocks started to think and dream, and they turned into amoebas, and then those amoebas turned into frogs and tadpoles and donkeys and into a mankind. But we tend to get all of these, you know, the natural things first, instead of spending time where it really counts, with the things of God. So take time, you know, to think about the things of God in those Ten Commandments. And these other things will be easier to come by. You know what? Everything below that line, an atheist can do. Everything below that line, an atheist can do. So if any preacher stands up in front of his church audience, and I've been in lots of them, and teaches the second half, anybody can agree with him. Yeah, amen. Right, I'll go do that. I'll be nice to people. I won't lie. I won't steal. I won't commit adultery. I won't murder. But you get to the top half, and he's dead in the water because he doesn't believe that God exists anyway. But that doesn't stop him from taking care of the man-focused ones because people like him for that. People like he'll get promoted at work when he does all the man-centered ones. So those are beneficial to him. So he will do that. This is God's given order. God's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they're listed in a specific order for a specific reason. That's because you got to get those first ones right first, or the second ones are not gonna work out. Guess what? I ran out of slides. But there's only one way to satisfy those 10. One way to satisfy those 10. Become like man before the fall. Become like man before the fall. You know where you find that out? In here. Start at the beginning, go all the way to the end. You'll find the answer. It's there. Christ is in there more toward the end, but you'll see him there in the beginning. How long has salvation been around? Since the beginning. When was the first death that saved humankind's life? Back in Genesis chapter 4. That's where it all started. And you'll see the death of Christ all the way through the whole book. Only one way to satisfy those 10 things. Become a new creature in Christ. Christ is the only one who can make you a new creature. He can give you the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Can make you something brand new. Something you never were before and never have been. Be like Adam before he made his mistake. Those 10 are not a condition for salvation. But those 10 are a consequence of salvation. You can do that. You can do it once you become a Christian. Before you become a Christian, there is no hope, no hope of ever satisfying God's requirement after you become a Christian. And the reason I emphasize that this is where the answer is I'm not alone. I'm not alone. There was a poll taken, and this will be my last slide, bringing hope for America. You know where the biggest lump of people find themselves? The Bible is the best place to bring hope for America. Not the president. Not the president. The Bible. And each and every individual having a Bible, using the Bible, reading the Bible, understanding the total truth from Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation 22, 21. You got to live it. You got to understand it, read it, and make it part of your everyday life. Sorry for such a short one. But anybody wants to look at that three-dimensional thing, the only way you can see that thing is you got to look at the whole thing. And it looks like a whole bunch of random dots, which is what most people think of when they read through this whole book. But when you look past the book and focus on the author, then you'll be able to see what he told us. but you have to focus on the author. That's the same way with those three-dimensional things. You have to focus about 2 or 3 inches behind the picture, and then you can see the donut. Doesn't take me long to see it. You can play with the wood, you know, any, as long as you want to. But, you know, the Ten Commandments, instead of being something that is offensive toward us, it's just something that we want to be. When you look at it as something that you want to be, rather than this is something that God says, you got to do this, we get discouraged then. But when I look at it as a fact that God really wants this, and in the image of God, in whose image I am created, that's what I want too. That's what I want too. Let's close in prayer. Father, just thank you so much for the opportunity again to present your word. And just may we each take this and just use this in our life and in our testimony for you, wherever we are and whoever we speak to, and to let you be the influence in the world that you should be. And may we bring that about in any way that we can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.